Welcome to the Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 16. Today is September 14th, 2007. Here's Dove. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 16, Covering. The message was originally recorded on June 23rd, 1991. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis. Be sure to call me on the comment line, and that number is 1-715-808-0318. Or send me your comments, suggestions, questions, poems, letters, anything, fortunes, whatever you want to send it to me in an email. I'd love to get that, janine@pastorpaul.org. And comments are live at the blog. So don't be shy. Go to the blog, and that's www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. And you'll see, scroll down to the bottom of the show notes, and you'll see comments. What you do, just click it on, go ahead, start writing. I will get a notice that there's a comment there. We'll take a look, put it up on the podcast, on the show notes. So send me those comments at the blog. Let's get something going. Or also, visit us at www.pastorpaul.org. And Pastor Paul's mission is a free food distribution to the needy in Minneapolis and St. Paul area. It is a not-for-profit, and we do provide food, love, and dignity to people in need. We need your help. Send us a tax-deductible donation. You can do that right on the homepage. So go to Pastor Paul, www.pastorpaul.org, make a donation. You're going to see a widget on the homepage, too. That is a little window. Inside the window, you'll see Pastor Paul's podcast. You can just go there, click it right on. Also, you can download the Tongues of Fire Pastor Paul's podcast at the blog. So you go to the blog, you'll see it there. Any one of the links, I've got a number of them. Just click it on and away we go. Well, I have so many things to talk about, and I have to keep it short because we have a long message. The message Covering is an excellent message, and basically it reminds me of what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be going to the shop.org annual summit, which is where all of the members of shop.org get together, which I think there must be thousands of them. There are many vendors that are going to be there. And basically, shop.org is an organization with the National Retail Federation. And why am I going to the shop.org conference? By the way, it's in Las Vegas. It opens on Monday evening. There's a reception, and then Tuesday and Wednesday, the conference, all kinds of speakers, vendors there with, the list is unbelievable. I'll put the link in the show notes of shop.org. Basically, Pastor Paul's mission is a member of shop.org because we have a store, and our store in the future is going to be a covering for Pastor Paul's operation, the mission, and all the food programs and everything that we think are important for people. We are hoping to bring in the financial support that we need to pay for our entire operation by the store. So I would encourage you to go to the store, take a look, you know, buy something for Aunt Tilly or whatever, buy yourself something. We're going to be having more products on there. And I'm going to be looking for some marketing people at the shop.org conference, as well as, you know, some different more ideas on how to market the store. Because as Pastor Paul talks about in this message covering, we need to be a covering for people, and we need to have a covering, financial covering for the mission and finances. This week, I've been just busy with proposals, finances, budgets. You know, I've been doing this for over 20 years, and it doesn't get any easier. But, you know, I'm just really looking forward to the shop.org conference so that I can meet the right people that are going to help me to bring this to fruition, this store, because we have a fantastic operation. Pastor Paul's mission, there's nothing like it in the entire, probably in the world. I would say in the world. In Minnesota, it is the biggest and the best free food distribution directly to needy people that need food. Minnesota leads the country, the U.S., in food distribution to the needy. Minnesota has fantastic programs that help poor people get on their feet and help them with emergency services. And then again, the U.S. leads a lot of times in the world in a lot of different areas. So Pastor Paul's is a covering right now for thousands and thousands of families that need help, and seniors that need help with groceries, who are possibly not taking medicine because they need to buy groceries or vice versa. So, I mean, there are people out there that need help. We have the means to help them. And what we need to do is we need to be self-sufficient in our finances so that we're able to do even more. Here is Pastor Paul's message entitled Covering.
Today's tape is entitled Covering. You ever slept in a bed where the bed was too short and the covers were too narrow? Isaiah 28 and 24, the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wear in it. Not enough covers to wrap up. Not enough covers that he can put himself into. Isn't that a miserable picture of uncomfort? Your head and your feet hanging out, a bath towel for a blanket. And I thought, what a sleepless, cold, miserable picture. And so God made it so that there are two things essential for our comfort, even for our very existence: sleep and clothing. Now just think of that. If you could never, ever sleep again. Last night, as I was getting ready for this message, and I was so tired, and I thought, oh, what a beautiful thing that we can go to sleep. And I thought, if we were denied that privilege of going to sleep, we would probably rather die. And yet, there are people all over that are sleeping in these beds that are too short, and the covers that won't cover them. And the reason being, a lot of times, is because they're in a situation. They're in that sleepless situation, worried about this or that, worried about their job, worried about payments. And so no matter how big that bed is, it isn't big enough. It can't cover them. And today, of course, we're talking about the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ. But also in reference to our body. How many have had those nights when they just can't sleep? I have. Anyone in here had those nights when they just can't sleep? So we were down at the Midwest Federal, and I thought about all of those people down there that couldn't sleep. Maybe they're in that bed now that's in jail that's pretty short, that the covers won't cover them. And as we walked through that building, that beautiful building there, and saw all the makings that they had there, what kind of a bed did they make for themselves? Whew. See, a lot of our beds are of our own invention. Maybe you're trying to live in a bed of gold, where you worry about everything you have, where you add and subtract all night long, where you try to devise a plan where you can make more money or have more luxuries or add another house or a car or stocks or bonds, and on you labor all night long, hoping that you'll come to your own sufficiency, but it never quite makes it. You go from one enterprise to another. You invest all your money. You have bloodshot eyes from studying the Wall Street Journal. I wondered how many people are in that fix right now in today's economy, having that bed that's too short, trying to find a way out whilst they're in that bed, trying to double their money. And he says to himself, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Do you envy such a man? Does his bed look comfortable to you? Does it look adequate? Would you like to be in his bed? I tell you, since I came to the Lord Jesus Christ and I gave up most of my possessions that I had in my worldly sense, at least I have that peace of mind when I go to bed. When I pull those covers up around myself, that in myself I am totally lacking. How many know what I'm talking about here today? That in yourself, well, you take the jobs right now, and people laying in these beds. Maybe you have a huge bed. Maybe you're listening on the radio this or the tape. Maybe you have a huge bed, a comfortable bed out there, but it isn't quite big enough for you. Not quite big enough. The other night I was trying to sleep myself, and I got into worrying over this mission down here, about the present state of what's going on down here. And I thought to myself, here I am again, finding myself in a bed that's too short, not keeping my eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm in the same condition I was before because I've allowed myself to worry over what's going on. And so that bed started to shrink and the covers started to disappear, and I started to get cold in my thinking. I started to dwell upon those things that worry me, about the finances, about the continuing on of this work down here. And I thought to myself, my God, give me rest in this whole situation down here. And as I got into the Bible and I read this very thing right through, I said, I'm no better off than those people at the Midwest Federal Bank. If I allow myself to come out from underneath the covering of the Lord and get into this terrible fear. And how many Christians right now are in that very state? The very state that the world is in right now, worrying and fretting and fussing. And I talked to a young man. He said, well, I don't want money. What I really want is fame. What I really want is my name to be known. And so his name became a TV, and I won't mention it. He was on TV, he was on radio, he was in the newspaper. He was called a great man. And I thought, well, now he's got that soft bed. But you know, as he went on in his music ministry and got into the rock ministry and so on like that, and became quite famous. The bed that he had wasn't really comfortable. He found out that the little compliment from his mother was so great, now it wasn't good enough if 10,000 people would compliment him. And so he ended up in a bed that was too short and that the covers could not cover him. And I thought to myself, my God, if we do anything right now, we need to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you could take a look at the downtown area, we were in there yesterday. Take a look at all the machines that were piled up and all the computers that were piled up. And all of the hopes and dreams of all these people that were out there. What a miserable sight it was. We went up into the executive offices down there. Here was this great big carpet up there, big beautiful carpet up there with trees all the way around for Midwest Federal, a good tree to come do for shelter all the way around this huge 40-foot carpeting. A great grand table that must have cost $20,000 and had 25 chairs around it. A huge bathroom that you could bathe the whole bank in for one person. And I thought, oh, they thought this bed was going to be big enough and that the covers would cover and that there'd be a comforter for them. And where are they now? And you take a look down here and you'll see people down here in this area right here that don't know the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. These people didn't know it either. That's the bed that we have to come to. That's the comforter that you have to come to. That's the only one that can give you comfort and can give you peace in this world today. And as you take a look around right now at the north side down here, no matter where you are in this world right now, today I was watching TV and seeing all of the Africans over there, starving and hungry and tired, miserable and dying. And we've gotten so hard when we see those pictures on TV, don't you know? We take a look at them and we say, oh God, I've seen this before. I don't want to see it again. It sickens me. And yet, in my heart, I felt like, oh my God, this is a release for the Christian. This is an opportunity for you to do something. This is an opportunity for you to use your covering, the Lord Jesus Christ, what He has given you to cover others. Do you understand what I'm talking about here today? That we need to extend ourselves. That we need to get out there and we need to do something out there. Not only to the banker, not only to the lawyer, but the people out there that are starving to death right now because they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Russia right now is reaching out. Russia right now, the great country of Russia is reaching out because they need a covering. What an opportunity for the gospel of Jesus Christ to go forth right now and say, here's what you need. Here's what you need. You need the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a time to evangelize right now. What a time to show people that we have a covering, that nothing can satisfy you but the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last night, about 12 o'clock, a large group of men were forming out here in front of our house. Noisy and carrying on. Whew. Night last week, gunshots going off all over. I'm not trying to make you fearful, but what do those people need? They need the peace of mind that passes all understanding. Now is the time to minister the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ right down here. Droves of people traveling the streets at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. Gunshots going off. Why is that? There is no covering. There is no comforter. If you would have asked me 3 or 4 years ago or had me see a rerun movie of what was going to happen since I came down here, I never would have came down here. Say amen, somebody. If I could have seen a movie, a foretold situation of what was going to happen down here, I never would have came down here. And that's why we get everything in a little bit of doses. But all that time, I knew I had the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once in a while, I forget it. Once in a while, I get fearful. Say amen, somebody. I wonder right now, if you took some people from the suburbs and brought them down here and had them just to live down here for a little while, and they were laying there, and all of a sudden you heard that rat-tat-tat of an automatic weapon going off, how long they'd stay down here? Huh? And yet and still, it's our job to be here. Say amen, somebody. Are we to take off right now because we get a little bit fearful or whatever like that? Oh, no. Because there's great things going to happen as we dare to minister the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ. People are looking for covering through their drugs. That's no kind of covering. That's a temporary thing. People are looking down here for covering through prostitution, making a little bit of money. What kind of a covering is that? They have to lay in their beds at night worrying whether they got AIDS or something like that. Say amen, somebody. Right now, this world is in such a mess because they don't know of our covering, the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're short of covers. Their beds are too short. So they're trying to find a covering. They're trying to find a job. They're trying to find peace. And they're trying to find it all in the wrong places. Either at way up on top without God or way down here trying to climb up there. And so we're looking today, right now today, that people are looking for a covering, and we have it. We have the message here. Say amen, somebody. As silly as it may sound to some, without that covering, you are not going to sleep at night. In this whole world right now, if you do not have the Lord, if you're not saved, born again, you're going to end up like this. You're going to end up with no covering, no peace. Say amen, somebody. How many right now are just a little bit fearful over their jobs in this country? Huh? Even right down here now, Sue, we're all struggling. And the thing to remember right now that our covering is the Lord Jesus Christ, right? $50,000 in the hole in 1 year. That's where we're at right now. $50,000 in the hole. Doesn't look too bright, does it? But then again, what's our covering? We're no worse off than people are out in the suburbs. Maybe the home out there is $150,000. $150,000 in the hole. I would say right now we're pretty well holding our own down here. Just being $50,000 in the hole. Say amen. I want you people to be praying about us down here. We're in what they call in the world a very hairy situation. You know what I'm talking about? One of those real spooky situations where the bank is kind of tiptoeing up on you. The city's kind of tiptoeing up on you. The insurance company's kind of tiptoeing up on you. The phone company's kind of calling up asking when you're going to pay the bill. And, everybody's asking what's going to happen with a mission. Oh, I got news for him. There's a covering. I've been down here 12 years, and I've been a whole lot more than $50,000 in the hole. Say amen, somebody. I got a call the other day, and they said, well, what if this gets cut off or that gets cut off? What are you going to do then? I said, well, the county and the state and the federal government are not my covering. That's a bed that's too short for me, and those are covers that won't cover me all the way. Say amen, somebody. But we got all these people kind of coming around asking us, are you covered? Yes, we're covered. My God, we are covered. Now is not the time to be fearful in this old world. Now is the time to say we have a covering. Talk to people out there. Talk to them about their jobs. Ask them where they're at. They're fearful. In this country right now, people are fearful. I must have went to about 15 banks and asked them for help. No help. We can't cover you. Can you help us cover our debts? No, we can't cover you. I went all over. No one could cover us. But we have a covering. The Lord Jesus Christ is our covering. Say amen. A building is going up over here. Because I depended on our covering. A wall is getting fixed over here because I depended on our covering. Heat and air conditioning for this factory that we're getting up here is going in because I depended on our covering. This whole area up in here, we depended on our covering. Furniture will go up in those offices because we depended on our covering. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? We have a covering. If we ever needed anything right now, we need to pray. I was getting ready for this message today and I thought, you know what? We don't really need a message down here. We need to get into prayer. We need to really, sincerely get into prayer and start to praying for one another. Pray that this ministry would make it. Pray that the people in high places would find the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you hearing this today? That we need to be in prayer. We don't need to be preaching, always learning, but never coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You can get preached out. You go on down in my office down there, you've seen the tapes down there. I have a wall of talking. Hour and a half tapes. Ministries are going out all over. Talking. I get tired of hearing myself talk. I am talked out, folks. Say amen, somebody. You need to be in prayer right now like never before. People are, for the most part, miserable. I know that hits people to the quick when you say that. But for the most part, you look at people. Down there, Gene, when we were down there, did you notice how many miserable people there were down there? There was no one down there with a sense of humor. You try to have a little bit of fun. They were walking around. They were trying to pick up this piece of furniture for nothing and that piece of furniture for nothing. Huh? And they were arguing and fighting who was going to get this great big old rug down there. Fighting right out on the floor. Hey, it isn't in talking. It isn't in a whole bunch of, ministering the word. It's actually doing the word. It's actually seeing the need and meeting the need of the people. Are you hearing this? I bet you I have talked over 1 billion words in my ministry. You've been with me since out here when we had them hour and 45 minute messages out here, where people would be sitting there, for an hour and 45 minutes. Radio ministries, African ministries, Norway, Sweden, Greece, Cuba, talk. What good does it do? Does it fall on deaf ears? I think so. What people want to see is action. See him in somebody. That's like when I was boxing. You didn't get in the ring and talk to the guy. Now let's talk this thing over. Well, he beat you in your face until you were bloody. You hearing this? No, you get in their ring and you start, doing your thing in there. Are you hearing this? So you went to the wrestling matches. They didn't get in there and they just said, well, let's talk this thing over. No, they were whirling each other around and whamming them on the floor, huh? Hearing this? I am tired of hearing myself talk. Huh? Maybe you're tired of hearing me talk. I don't know. Hey, you can repeat yourself. You talk. You get to be like a parent. Preacher, if you're hearing me right now, you can be like a parent. You can talk to people and they'll sit there with toothpicks in their eyes trying to act like they're really listening to what they don't even hear you. They're far removed from you. They're at home with their roast beef dinner. Or they're out here, or out there. They have grown dead of hearing. They don't hear you. Now's the time for action. Right? How many want to get into action? Moving. When you sell a house, don't you get tired of just talking all the time? What do you want? You want a sale. I'm going to try to make a sale here today. I'm not going to try to sell myself. I'm going to try to sound reasonable and try to make a sale here today and sell you on the idea that you can talk a walk, but you have to walk a walk. You physically have to get out there and do the thing. You physically got to get out, just like when you go to work, when you're on your job. Do you go in there and talk? Huh? No, you have to make a sale. Preacher, if you're listening to me, you better start making sales. Sales. Get that my dad used to say, I want to hear that cash register ringing out there. Huh? How about that cash register for God, huh? How about selling, so to speak, the covering? I was thinking about it the other day, and I thought, you know, when I went in the Army, I got Army issue. Of course, nothing fit. But I got Army issue boots, and they covered me. They gave me clothes. They gave me the shirt, and they gave me the pants. I must have weighed about 129 pounds. Nothing fit me. But after basic training, I went up to about 155 pounds, and I knew why they gave me bigger clothes, because then I filled into them. I think we need a bigger role. We need to give Christians bigger clothes and then cause them, by exercise, to build their bodies up spiritually and mentally into fitting into those clothes. Say amen. See, there's more than talking. There's more than going to Perkins, Christians, are you hearing me? And talking. And talking about God. And talking about the choir. And talking about what you don't like. How many know what I'm talking about when you say Christians meeting over at the Panacookan or over at Perkins and they got to get their... Nothing is being done. Or the city wouldn't be in the condition it's in right now. If the Christian community was down here and we were all together ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ to the one little old bald-headed man down here trying to do the thing by talking all the time, the job would be done. Are you hearing this? Why are the cities such a mess? Because the church isn't doing anything. Are they? Are we taking care of our own? No, we had a suburban church. We were out here, right? And out there we talked and we talked and we talked, and your pastor went out and ministered all over and talked some more. But did anything really get done? No. We just ministered and we taught and we had Sunday school and we did this and we did that, but we really never did anything. Do you know how much money there is in the Church of Jesus Christ? How much power there is in the Church of Jesus Christ that isn't being used? Because we're just busy feeding our own faces, right? That's like me coming over and feeding you. Here, you know, and giving you pap, see, and then get it off your chin. Yes, well, no, you didn't quite get that one. You didn't quite get it all. So I have to say it over again. And I rub it off your chin, then put it in your mouth. Oh, oops, a little bit. Huh? Yeah, there's so much babysitting going on. Pastors are babysitting the people. Sunday school teachers are babysitting their people. You can't do that in a job. Huh? That's done. When you go out, you don't have anybody babysitting. You have to go out there and crawl over the terrain and get over these rocks and mud and slop and go try to sell one of these machines you make. You can't go over there and just talk, oh, we got this machine and that machine and this machine. No, you have to go out and show them how this thing works. We have to show people how our Christianity works. Does it work? It isn't working. It isn't working. People hate to come to church. Huh? The only time you're going to find people coming to church is to see somebody else that's in church. Huh? Say it. It's the truth, isn't it? Here's Charlie, and here's Uncle, here's Fred the banker, and here's the lawyer, and here's the Sunday school teacher, and oh, there's Pastor. Oh, huh? But what gets done? Companies don't do like that. They don't just all congregate in a group. They have to have an outreach. Your company has to have an outreach, doesn't it? Don't you go out there and try with all your heart to make a sale? Huh? Don't you go out and play with all your heart to try to convince somebody? And don't you try to make sales, honey? Don't you try to make sales? I mean, you really try. Why can't we do that in the body of Christ? Really, really try. Huh? On your job, don't you really try for your job? Don't you just get out there and do everything you can to try to make it work? I'm trying to sell you on something here today. I'm trying to sell everybody and people listening on that tape. Don't you try to make a sale. You're in sales, right? Well, what do you do?
It's like investigation for insurance and stuff, background work.
I think you should investigate some of these Christians. Honest to God. They're about the laziest bunch of people I've ever seen in my life. Now I'm getting old enough where I can say it. I ain't worried about it now. Say amen. Yeah, you should go out. We should have an investigation team that goes out and investigates all these lazy, do-nothing Christians. Right? Shouldn't it? What do you investigate? What kind of questions do you ask?
A lot of it gets into everything. Personal, occupation, finances, and everything.
Everything.
Habits.
Habits? Ooh. Ooh, now this is getting good. This will probably get me talking again. Oh, yeah. And you investigate their habits?
Oh, yeah.
You think Christians should have their habits investigated? You think they'd stand for it? Well, no, I don't think they would. But why do they allow you to do that? What's in it for them?
To get the insurance.
To get the insurance. Hey, you know what your insurance is in heaven? The Lord Jesus Christ. Shouldn't they be investigated to see if they qualify? How do you qualify? You give. I don't care. Hey, sinners are much better at giving than Christians are. There should be an investigation on that one, right? How come it is I can go out here and I could yell in a bar, I need help, and people will come out and help, and you go in the church, they won't give you a nickel. But you know what they'll say for you? I'll pray for you, brother. We're with you in the spirit. How about bringing your body in here once in a while? I don't want to hear that kind of talk. Brother, we're with you in the spirit. What does that mean? Would you put up with that when someone, you ask them a question, say, we're with you in the spirit? Huh? Come on, let's get real here. What kind of job do you have?
Children.
A what?
I work with children in church.
Children in church. That's a good job. It's a good job. And you can ask him how he does his investigating and so on like that, and you can kind of start him out young. See, what kind of work do you do, sir? What kind of work?
I'm a pharmacist.
A pharmacist. So you know what people need as far as drugs and what ails them. You should ask them a question. You know what really ails you? Why you're so nervous and why you're so upset? Because you got the wrong covering. You don't have your bed is too short. Your covers aren't. You need coverings that go from the east to the west. The gospel of Jesus Christ, where you can wrap yourself up in it. Oh my. You don't have to take these uppers and downers. Legal uppers and downers, right? And you see them come in there every day, and you know what's wrong with them, right? In a way you do. I mean, they come in there and they get an upper or a downer, and then they try to balance the two, and they try to get that two martini high. How many know what a two martini high is? That's when you get up there on top of this two martini, and then, brother, it's all the way. And people try to hold that high, so you can't hold it. There's only one high. Most times I'm always up. Isn't that right, Gene? Because I'm on a high most of the time. I'm on a high. Because I feel like I am, for the most part, doing what I'm supposed to do. But sometimes I get on a low because I don't feel I'm doing enough. What kind of job do you have?
Cook.
Feed people. Mm-hmm. People need to be fed, too, by the soul, right? Don't their souls need to be fed, right? You know, blacks got a good food. They call it soul food, right? I think that's good. What kind of food is that?
Soul food?
Yeah.
Mixture of food.
Mixture of greens and
collard greens
and grits and things like that. Grits and what did you say?
Okra
and things like that. And they call it soul food. I suppose in the beginning they really didn't like it, so it wasn't really food. So they said, well, at least it's feeding my soul or something like that, right? And they gave them the cuttings off of this. No, years ago they never ate liver. The blacks taught them how to eat liver.
to eat all the scraps. What's chitlins, by the way?
Hog guts.
Hog guts. Give me a great big old bowl of chitlins, right? And they're good. And they call it soul food because nobody wanted it. They said, well, it ain't fit for your body. I said, well, it does my soul good to get it, right? How about your job, Alicia? What kind of work do you do?
Sell real estate.
Real estate. Houses? Mm-hmm. A place for a person to live in. Well, I tell you, a house without the Lord Jesus Christ is a pretty miserable dwelling, isn't it? Huh? I don't expect you to get people down on their hands and knees when you get in there and you sell them a piece of property and say, repent! No, I'm not. No. That'd be the last sale you made. But when you go in these houses, don't you feel like they need the Spirit of the Lord in there? Huh? When the husband and the wife are around the corner and you can hear them when they're, and then they come back to you smiling? Huh? Huh? Do you ever get any of those where they have almost fist fights right in front of you there? Yeah. Yeah. They need more than a house covering. See, that covering isn't big enough, is it? There's only one thing that can cover us, and that's the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sue, what kind of work do you do?
Cooking.
Little people. Clean bathrooms. Tell them the whole works here. Bathrooms, cooking, clothing.
Sometimes mopping,
sometimes cleaning up the parking lot. Well, what makes you do that? She knows she's supposed to. Do you like what you do? She likes what she likes to do that. And you know why she likes to do that? Because she's got a covering already. She's at peace with herself. See, it's not what we do in this life. It's that we're diligent to do it and we're obeying the Lord, no matter what it is. If it's sweeping the floor and you're sweeping that floor and God wanted you to sweep that floor, your crown in heaven will be as great as anybody's. Maybe greater. The last will be first and the first will be last. Huh? Wouldn't that be something if Billy Graham got up there and he had a pretty nice crown? Huh? And then the janitor got up there and he had a great big old crown? Because he is obedient and he did the job? Huh? I mean, every day you go through deliverance here, right? Every day. She gets a piece of flesh cut off. Huh? No, I'm not talking about Weight Watchers now. I'm talking about spiritually speaking here, right? The girls all go to Weight Watchers for a weigh-in. I call it the Fat Watchers Club. And they go in there every... And you get too skinny, they kick you out, right? Bad for business. What kind of work do you do, honey? Normally. Well, you're doing in clothing. Taking care of people by covering them with pants and shirts and coats and ties. And overcoats and shoes. Huh? It's a covering, isn't it? There's another covering that they need, isn't it? And they walk in there, and they're happy for a time. They run into these racks down there of these used clothes we got, and she works here. And they run in there to get these. You know, see, when they run in here, the Hmongs are always first, aren't they? No? Who's first? There's one guy in particular that's always first, isn't he? Who is it? Lives across the street over here? He's the first in there, isn't he? He's the first to look for a covering, isn't he? Number one, this man can run a foot race and get to that covering in a hurry. I seen him. You know, the Hmongs are pretty quick, but he's a little bigger, so he elbows them. Doesn't he? What's he looking for? He's looking for a covering, isn't he? You know yourself that man needs another kind of covering, doesn't he? For sure, doesn't he? What what happens? We need to show people, and then the Lord will show them, but you need to kind of minister to them. I knew years ago that I needed a covering. I was a total alcoholic. I knew there was something missing in my life. Huh? Especially when I was getting up and losing half of it every morning. Are you hearing this? I said, there's got to be more to this life than this big house, than the camper, than the dune buggies, than the motorcycle, than the going out and coming in, and the business, and the having a drink so I wouldn't be nervous, then having another drink before that one wore off, then putting on the sham and so on like that until the bed was real, real short. And the covers wouldn't cover me, and I was cold, miserable, wretched, and poor, the Bible says. I was laying in the Laodicean bed. Can you think back? And you know, we need to remind ourselves of how we were and where the Lord has taken us right now. Say amen, somebody. You need to really remember that, because you can fall into the same kind of thing, can't you? Can't you? Huh? You can fall into that same kind of a worry, that same kind of a frustration, that same kind of unbelief. And what good are you to others? We need to, preachers, get out there, you listening to this, and to sell. I'm trying to sell here today. I'm on a sale here today. The same way Midwest Federal's down there trying to sell. I'm trying to sell you. I'm trying to give you a proposition. There is more to life than yourself. You want to be miserable? Sit down with you. Sit down. Paul sits down with himself. Oh, let's see, what would make me happy? Nothing will make me happy. I mean, in a worldly sense, nothing. You can get a bigger house. Does that make you happy? No. You can get a bigger car. Does that make you happy? No. You can get a better job. There's all more to worry about. Sometimes you look back on your life and you say, man, I wish it was like it was 15 or 20 years ago. I wish I was in the eighth grade again. No worries. And now you have to worry about the worries that are coming up to worry about. You know what I mean? Because you're getting a little older now. Right? I remember when you were just a little guy. I can remember when you were praying to get taller. Do you remember that? We were all praying over you. Grow! No, I wasn't into that. There are certain people in the church then were, in the name of Jesus, grow! Huh? And I remember talking to you and I said, you know what? Your problem is you're worrying too much about getting taller. Forget about it. Stay close to the floor and take care of them lower duties for a while, and God will give the increase. Nobody else is going to make you grow. You remember that? I said, straight out, you might be a midget the rest of your life, especially if you're going to be worrying about it. Yeah, you couldn't have went with him, because he was just a little. I mean, we can say it now, this man was a runt. He was only about this tall. Honest to God, wasn't it? Huh? I remember I was the same way. I thought, God, when am I going to grow? And all of a sudden, you forgot about it, and you started growing. And I seen you coming up to me, and you were looking at my Adam's apple, where you were looking right here before. And you were looking straight at my Adam's apple. And I thought, oh, this guy is like Steve, my son, did. And you come up, and then pretty soon you were looking in my mouth. Huh? And pretty soon you were looking me in the eyes, and pretty soon you were kind of standing around over the top of me a little bit. Huh? But see, the whole point here is that we need to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only in our stature, physically speaking, but we need to grow also, right? In what we do for people. Like I said, and I'll get back to this, if you're just going to sit thinking about yourself, you're going to be miserable. Mitzi, if all you have to do, and I'm using everybody in here, so don't feel picked on, but if you're just sitting at home with just Mitzi, my God, that is a bore. Not that you're boring, but that is a bore. If Mitzi is just going to sit there with Mitzi, well, no wonder people get depressed. Other people can hardly stand us. And they don't know everything about us. Right? You want to get miserable? You listening? You want to get miserable and suicidal and depressed and everything else? Sit there by yourself and think about you. Think about how you could fail. You've already failed. In sales, if you think about how I could fail. You've already failed. If I, in this situation, and we in our situation, we're at here on the north side, right down here, think about, man, we could go under. You're already under. You're already in a bed that's too short, and you're already with sheets that will not cover you. I found myself in that bed, and I got out of it in a hurry here just a couple nights ago. I said, man, don't crawl back in that same sack you got out of. Hear it now. And how many are guilty of crawling right back in the same miserable sack, thinking about themselves? Honey, what do for a living now? You're going to be?
Vet tech/nursing student.
You're a vet now. A vet tech. She takes care of animals and cats and dogs and whatever. But now you're going to be a nurse, right? Mm-hmm. And you're going to be taking care of people. So she's leaving the animals. She's going to go into taking care of people. And maybe she'll wish that she was back with animals again. I don't know. Huh? But see, if you weren't, you're progressively moving up now. You're moving from animals to people. And that's going to be kind of a heavy trip, too. All kinds of people. Short people. Tall people. Big people. Little people. Asians. Africans. Whatever kind of people. The same way you did with pets. Bulldogs, Pekingese, you name it. Huh? And what are people going to need? They're going to need a covering. When they say, nurse, will you bring me a blanket in here? Will you get me a comforter? Is there an opportunity? When you bring them the comforter in there, Mitzi, you make these comforters. I laid under one of them. They're really great. They're little, what do you call them? What? Afghans, and they got the little pink balls on them. You know, I mean, I feel kind of weird sleeping with them little things, but I mean, as long as nobody sees me, I don't feel too fruity with them. You know what I mean? But you put this thing up, and you got this thing on there, and what is that? That is a comforter. A comforter, right? When you go to bed at night and your mother bundles you up, well, not now. Was that prophetic? No. Just kidding. But when your mother used to cover you up and she put the comforter, didn't that feel good? And she'd come in and kiss you, huh? And put that comforter around you and say, night, night now, go to sleep. It's the same comforter you have. What do they call Jesus Christ? The comforter. The comforter. What people need right now, I'm not talking about talk now. I'm not talking about being religious now and going to church. I'm not talking about reading your Bible, although you'll want to after you're saved. I'm talking about what do people not need right now. They need the comforter. Don't they? People are walking down the streets and little kids are shivering away and they're walking and they got these little shoes on with no laces in them. And well, where are their parents? I don't know. I'm talking about the kids now. And they're walking down there and they're just shivering away. What do they need? A covering. A comforter. What do you need in your life right now? You need a comforter. You know, if you can keep that in mind, Christians, you listen to me on the radio or tape. If you can keep this in your mind, that you need a comforter, how much more does the world need to know that? How much more? What do?
Sell automotive parts.
Sell automotive parts. What kind of parts?
Piston, drains, rods, vanes.
Internal parts. People need internal healing, don't they? Huh? Don't they? Don't people need internal healing on the inside? Oh, they look good. Man, I was voted most likely to succeed when I graduated. And camera cutie, I told you this before. Camera cutie, and then I thought, oh, I was pretty good. I was camera cutie. Till, you know, 20 years later, I looked and I thought, boy, what an ugly graduating class that was. Huh? But you know what I needed of all that? What we need all that time is internal things to happen to us. Who changes the inside of you? The Lord does. The Lord changes in there. So you have an opportunity to minister to people when they call up and say, I need some internal parts. What kind of parts do you sell internally? Pistons, rings, what else?
Camshafts.
Camshaft kind of keeps the thing working, does it?
Yeah.
And the pistons go up and down, do they? Like these legs do? Huh? We're pretty much the same, aren't we? Huh? Huh? What do you do for a living?
I don't even know.
You don't even know. Well, you do something, honey. You got children?
Out of.
You need to have a job?
I had a job.
I see.
I got laid off.
What kind of job did you have?
I had a, like a, work on a machine, you know, put little things together.
Mm-hmm.
And slide through the machine, they take boxes and stuff, pack boxes.
So you were in the packing business?
Yeah.
Packing up, what kind of stuff did you pack?
Like rugs and curtains and stuff like that.
Curlers?
Rugs, what you put on the floors.
Oh, okay.
Hand packing.
Okay. So you were packing by hand.
Yeah.
Huh? Did you know that God hand packed you? Hand packed. There's only one like you. Precious in the sight of the Lord. There's only one Don. Only one. There's only one Mitzi. One gene? One. How about that for parts? Could you have a parts house like that? No. That has all those people with all their separate parts that won't fit anybody else. How'd you like to run an auto shop like that? Who do you suppose did that? With those internal parts, you can't you put somebody else's heart in somebody else and it jumps out. Huh? How about that? How about that? Huh? Think about that. There's only one of you. There's only one of you, and there's only one of you. There's only one of me, and you say, Amen. And there's only one of you. Do you think God cares? If you only made one of each thing, wouldn't you care? Don't people out there need to know that God only made one of them and that God cares? There's only one little, like some of these little kids come in here, little kids. There's only one of them. There's only your son. He's only one. Where is he today? Over Northeast for the weekend. There's only one of him. Huh? I think back, I was looking at pictures and I was talking to Gene about poverty. We lived in Mitchell, South Dakota. And there's a picture in the, of an old Model T sitting there, and I'm sitting, or Model A, I'm sitting on a running board. Here's my mother, and we're standing on a shack where the porch goes like this, right down to the ground, and they piled manure up, all the way around the house to keep it warm. It wasn't any bigger than, oh, like a 14 by 14. And when you went to bed at night, you could see through the cracks up there. And I can remember looking through those cracks, and it was cold. Only a pot-belly stove downstairs, and in the kitchen, they you know, had the stove down there, they'd cook and then they'd put the wood in there. And I can remember just as a little teeny guy looking out through that and says, I wonder if there really is a God. I wonder if there really is anybody that really cares out there. And I look at the people down here and I see people down here in the same kind of a condition down in here. And they need to know there's only one of them. And that God cares for that one person. One. There's only one Jim and Tammy Baker. How'd you like to be Jim or Tammy Baker about now? I don't think so. There's only one president of Midwest Federal. How'd you like to be him? Do you think that you should give a word of encouragement to everybody? That's what my job is. To encourage people. To make them feel strong. To give them maybe even advice. Maybe even people come down there fearful over their jobs. Are you working there? Where do you work?
Secretary.
For?
Medtronic.
And they make pacemakers. Boy, if people ever needed new hearts, they need them now, don't they? Huh? And now they got that little pacemaker in there. And what does that do? That gives them a little jolt.
Stimulates
them so that when it slows down, can you feel it inside when it does that? I don't think so. But you can feel your own heart when it gets stimulated, can't you? Huh? When I see people that are in dire straits, my heart gets stimulated. It does. I can feel it. This sort of swells. You get compassion for people and your heart swells. You know what I mean? It starts to swell in there. But you suppose that maybe that's a ministry for you, that people need a jolt in their heart, right? They need a new heart. Right? Do you think this whole world right now needs a new heart? Oh my. God, if we ever needed to sell people on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And again, I'm not talking about going to church. I'm talking about selling people on receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and getting a new heart. We need to do that right now. Mitzi, didn't you used to do electronic work? For who?
Nortron.
What kind of stuff did they make?
Tape recorder, jets, and playback tapes.
Yeah, just think, God's going to play back our life one of these days. Woo! But you know what? If you're born again, what he does, he burns all the tapes. It says in the Bible, I will remember your sins no more. There's no recordings. There's no rerun movies. Boy, am I glad of that. What an embarrassment that would be. Right? Would you like a rerun movie of your life? Now you're young. How about you? No? No, how about you? No? You? No? There won't be. How about you? No. There won't be. I mean, we have such a wonderful thing to give people. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ to take them out of depression. Right? Do you find yourself getting depressed once in a while? Huh? Well, I mean, about what? What do you get depressed about? Just
things you think too much about.
Think about. Yes, we all do that. Would you share with us so we can share with you? Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, as long as I won't charge you, you could pay $45 an hour for this, a half hour. Sort of group therapy. I think. No. What do you get depressed about? And I'll share some things.
Finances. Similar things to what you're talking about.
Yeah, short. Sort of a short bed. Where you can't sleep at night, right? I mean, because you're kind of worried and depressed about the bills.
Yes.
And the sheets won't cover?
Sometimes.
You know what I mean? Oh, God. It's hard, isn't it? I mean, you know, you got the bills. Now you got a house, right? Do you think it was easier when you were in the apartment, maybe? No? Same old worry, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know it. God, what are you going to do about that? Well, it won't do any good to worry about it. You know what helps me out? I get mad. I get mad. I dig my way out of it. Huh? And wheelbarrow it out of there. Get out of here. You got to work it on out. You just got to get mad. Right? Get up at night when the bed is too short and the sheets won't cover you and get mad. Make it work. You know, when we're under a real stress and strain, we can be very creative. Right? When we really have to make it, we get pretty creative. Right? I suppose in your life, and you know, you had times when you had financial difficulties, right? Right? You know. And maybe, as any couple, you decided, well, maybe I could go to work and I could help out. See? And then, you know, 20 years later, you're still working. But you but you set yourself in a lifestyle, right? And then that's fine. That's fine. You're a lot happier working, though, aren't you?
Huh? It's up for debate.
Well, I mean, now you actually, if you went home and you didn't do anything, you know what? You wouldn't be as happy as you are now. You might think you would be. How long you been there?
10.5 years.
10.5 years. And what made you go to work? Worry?
Finances.
Huh? Hey, here's some instruction here. Part-time job maybe besides the other one? Right? Maybe a part-time job? I had to do that. Raising a family, I thought, I'm not making it. So I went out and got a part-time job. I was working 20 hours, 7 days a week. 20-hour days. Well, 10 hours on Saturday and 10 hours on Sunday and took it easy, you know. But that's what I was doing to make it. And finally got myself into business. But you learn to be creative. Looked at the bills. Phone bill. Husband was, you know, he has to go the best he can, and he makes a pretty good living and everything. But the bills were coming in. And any more kids in the family?
Three.
Three others?
No, two others.
Two others. Are they older or younger?
Older.
Older. And they got to go through college, and they got, oh, geez. How are we going to do it, Daddy? Do you call him Daddy? That sounds good, doesn't it? So you said, Jack, we need some more Jack, okay? And oh, we're just not going to make it here. And then you start planning for the future. And Mom said, I've got to commit myself to a job or we just aren't going to be able to. Everything is going up. And if we want the kids to have college. And did you go through school? Or you're in school now. Have a heart. You had a heart, right? And so, Mom, don't you appreciate that, though? No, Mom went to work, and Dad was steady, always working, to help you out. So, you're writing these checks and everything like that. God, we can't pay this, we can't pay that. And you decided to go to work to do it. You worked it on out, right? What are you going to be when you graduate? A teacher? Okay. Are you kind of proud of your daughter? And then where did the rest of the kids, what are they doing?
Oldest one's a pastor's wife.
Yeah.
Next one is still going to college, just got out of the Army, married.
Oh.
Proud of all three of them.
Oh, I know you are.
They all know the Lord.
I know. And, you know, I went over to my son-in-law's house, castle house. Well, she can always find something wrong with your son-in-laws, right? At least I can. But anyway, I went in there and I thought, my goodness. I mean, there was glass from all the way up. And then in the front room, from the main office of one of my son-in-laws, He walks out, and there's a couple of doors that open up, and there's a balcony there, like the Matador when he comes out. Da 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 da. Huh? But then Julie had to go out and fix hair for quite a few years until John could climb the ladder. Huh? And then I went out to Debbie's house. You been out to Debbie's house? The Rancho place? And we're talking about the El Rancho. Huh? All done in knotty pine and brass. I thought, well, you know, maybe this is why I work 20 hours a day to give these kids everything they needed to make it. And we go out to Cheryl's house, and they got a great big house, and they're going to build another house, and so on like that. And I started thinking, well, praise God that I committed myself to making a good living to get these kids in the position they're in right now, even though I am a little bit jealous of all of them. It's worth it. And when you get done with them, the grandkids come. So you can't quit yet. Have a heart, right? Because God has caused you to be sort of a covering, sort of Christ-like, to help cover the bills, to help cover this, to help cover that, until Daddy will just do it on his own, right? Say amen, somebody. And there's a lot of women like that, most women like that, all of them. Mitzi had to work to get things going. Jean has to work to keep things going. Your wife has to work to keep things going. She has to work to help you. Aren't you glad you got her? I mean, you're out there with your music and you're doing, you're making a living, but you need help, right? Right. Aren't you glad for this sweet little woman? I mean, you know. What do you do, Michelle?
I work at a Christian bookstore.
Christian book, and you sell?
Bibles and music.
Books? And music, yeah. Sort of soul food to people.
Yeah.
Right, right. Aren't you glad for her? Well, I'm glad for her, because I can't do it by myself. And I'm glad for you, because I can't do it myself. What we need to come to about here is a Christian covering a community of action in the Christian community, where everybody, you know, piecemeals, or what do they call these quilts they put together? What do they call them? Where they sew these quilts. What do they call them, special kind of quilt? They're just a patch quilt? Yeah. I think if we take all of these churches and we start to have, what do they call them, sewing bees? Have a sewing bee and try to sew this thing together. Huh? And sew this thing together so that the whole Christian community would be a covering. Patches fitly joined together. To cover what's going on in this world right now, then the body of Christ is doing these things that you see me do, Jesus says. These things that you see me do, you'll do, and even greater things you will do. What's the greatest thing that Jesus ever did? He was a covering. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that covers you, the blanket, the garment of praise that covers you for the spirit of heaviness. And we need to be the sewers of the garment of praise to cover these people that are miserable and wretched and poor and get them started. Come outside of our own families, come outside of our own churches, and start to make a dedicated effort to start to cover people because their beds are too short and their sheets will not cover them. They're not white enough. That's the end of my message today. I venture to say you'll never forget it anyway. Might not be the most poetic you ever heard. And then again, a message from the heart is always the best message. My heart is meeting the needs of the poor. My heart is being a covering to other people when they're down, when they're depressed. And we all get depressed once in a while. When they're having fits of anger, when they just can't cover things anymore, when they're just in such a mental strait, when they're nervous, we've got to be that covering, that soothing hand that person with a word, that person with a meal, that person with the clothing, that person with the cash flow, that person that can help somebody. That's the end of my message today, but let's all learn to be a covering. And I learned a little bit about all of you in here today, too.
How about Pastor Paul? Is he incredible? I loved it when he said, talk, 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 talk. I am all talked out, folks. He just is unbelievable. 1991, this was prior to ending the church. I think the church, his last message was on Memorial Day in 1992. So he was nearing being, like he said, talked out. Thank God that the message covering he delivered before that day. This message, I just love it because you can just relate to it so much as far as in a physical sense, you know, not being comfortable. I kind of use the example of being on the plane and you're trying to get comfortable and you can't and your little blanket is too thin and that is no fun at all. And his messages are just so good. He just really lays it out there. And the main message is always is that, you know, the Lord Jesus, he is our comforter and he's the one that gives us the peace. And he's the one that just does it, you know? And so that's what you got to remember. And, anyways, I love his messages and I hope you do as well. And I hope you're back with me next Friday again. But before you go, I just have to tell you, I've got my M-Audio Micro Track. I'm putting it in my bag along with my iPod. I'm going to be listening to some podcasts with the video, the audio Micro Track. I'm going to try to track down some people that I can interview at the conference. Last time I went to the shop.org merchandising conference, I was able to talk to Scott Silverman, the executive director. And he was actually, if you want to go listen to his audio, it was on the Feed My Sheep. And that was number, oh my goodness, let me see, we've done so many. I don't know, you'll go, just kind of scroll down, you'll see it. It's under the Feed My Sheep podcast with Scott Silverman, the interview. And then also I'm going to take my Exilum Casio camera, which I got a few years ago, and it's an excellent camera. So I'm going to try to take some pictures, do the M audio, listen to some podcasts, and I'm so lucky, so blessed. Cousin Charlotte, who is the founder of the Little White Chapel in Las Vegas, she's sending the limo to pick me up in style. I hope it's the painted limo. Charlotte, send the Hummer limo. The Hummer limo is so cool. It's like $130,000 Hummer limo. It's beautiful. It's painted like the Tunnel of Love, which is like her wedding chapel. Anyways, I'm hoping to get the Hummer. I don't want to be spoiled, Charlotte, but I love the Hummer limo. So she's going to be picking me up at the airport. We're going to spend Sunday morning. She's taking me to church. We're going to church, and then we're going out to brunch with the pastor, and then I'll be checking into the Luxor. I'm hoping to go out, get some sun. I've got Sunday night later in the day to get some sun. I have all day Monday. I'm going to read. I've got some books. I've got this book I have had here, and I've just got to bring it with me. It's Punk Marketing. Yeah, I'm going to be bringing the Punk Marketing because I need some Punk Marketing help. So I'm going to be out by the pool, reading Punk Marketing, getting ready for the reception, and then attending the workshop. And I want to tell you, by next Friday, when we do the next podcast, I'm going to be so fired up. I'm going to be selling on our store. Go to the store, see if there's anything that you want to buy. If there's not, send me an email. Tell me what it is you want. I'll go try to find it. You can buy it from us. We can be self-sufficient. we can be a covering, and we're there. We're there, and you help make it happen. So until next week, I love you. God bless you, and we'll see you. Have a great week. Bye now. So if you tear the tears